Support for today's episode comes from Hexclad. I hosted the Jane's Beard Awards twice, actually. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling the truth. And Hexclad is the official cookware of the James Beard Foundation. So I was so happy to hear their Dinners on Me sponsors. Hexclad has revolutionized the cookware industry with an all-in-one hybrid pan that gives you the convenience and cleanup of nonstick, the versatility of your grandma's cast iron, and the durability to last a lifetime. Whether you want to make that perfect steak dinner on date night or ditch that greasy pan from your college apartment, Hexclad has you covered. James Beard celebrates incredible chefs annually with their prestigious awards that I have had the privilege of handing out. Again, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying. And it's no surprise that Hexclad is their official cookware. They are a chef's dream, and I love cooking with them. I feel so professional when I do. Hexclad also has a lifetime warranty. These are literally the last set of pots and pans you will ever have to buy. Trust me when I say your partner, your family, and all your dinner guests will thank you. So, chef, now is the time to upgrade that kitchen. For a limited time only, our listeners get 10% off their order with an exclusive link. Just head to hexclad.com/JTF. Support our show and check them out at hexclad.com/JTF. Bon appetit. Let's eat with Hexclad's revolutionary cookware. Hey, Dinners on Me listeners. So I feel so lucky because in the first season of my podcast, my guests have been incredibly vulnerable, and we've really covered a lot of ground in terms of our lives and our careers. But today, I want to dig a little bit deeper into a theme that's come up with quite a few of my guests, and it's one that's also very close to my heart, parenting. I became a parent for the first time in 2020. I have two sons, Beckett and Sullivan. They have absolutely changed my life in ways that I expected them to change my life. But more surprisingly, they've changed my life in ways that I did not expect them to. And I don't know, it's all very new to me still, this parenting thing, being a dad. And having these conversations on the show with other parents and soon-to-be parents has been really special for me. So today you're going to hear some of my favorite moments talking about the subject of being a parent with my guests Uzo Aduba, Busy Phillips, and Padma Lakshmi. My interview with Uzo will kick us off. You know Uzo from Orange is the New Black, or Mrs. America, or most recently Painkiller. Uzo was pregnant at the time of this interview and is due shortly, so it's very possible that she'll be a new mother by the time this episode is published. Uzo, if you're listening, I am so happy for you, and I cannot wait for you to be a mom. Okay, let's get to the conversation.
How's it go? So you had a big announcement.
Yeah, it's like wild. Like, I'm like, gonna be a mom.
I know.
It's crazy.
What are you anticipating with this new chapter?
Well, and that's what I came here today. I was like, I am gonna pick Jesse's brain.
Oh, do it.
About like parenting. I don't know what it felt like for you on your first, but it was like, in my mind, like we set up a bassinet, for example, in our bedroom. And I look at it and I'm always like saying to Robert, my husband, I'm like, baby, baby is going to be in that. Like, that's not decorative.
Mm-hmm. That's like... Oh, when that stuff starts coming into the house, it becomes very real.
Really?
Yeah.
I know something about babies because I babysat, but I also don't know anything about babies.
Yeah, I mean, same with me. I mean, I took care of kids. Like, that was my job when I was struggling as an actor. Like, I was a nanny.
Yeah.
A manny.
Manny, yeah. Love it.
And I thought, like, oh, but this will, like, certainly, like, lay the groundwork for me being a great parent. It's obviously so different.
Mm.
Your heart just cracks open in a way. That's what really surprised me. And everyone always says this, and it's so cliche, but it's like your heart living outside of your body. It's like, yeah.
Is that
and
real?
Then, like, oh, that's, like, a real thing. But, like, it's also not a describable thing. Like, people say that, and I was like, I don't know what that feels like or that means.
Yeah.
But then, like, now, like, I mean, I get teary just thinking about my son. Like, this morning, he cried because he, like, spilled his granola and, like, milk on everyone. He was, like, embarrassed and upset with himself for spilling. Like, my heart, like, broke for him. And I was like, it's not a big deal. It's just milk.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm going to clean it up. But, like, I, like, almost burst into tears with him because I was, like, so sad that he was so sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what's all that about? And I was like, that's the product of your heart living outside your body. Like, you cannot control that love.
And is it also like a little bit of like, I wish mm-hmm. I knew how to heal you, to keep you from this feeling?
Yeah,
and it's like, it's not possible.
It's not
possible.
You know
what I mean? Like,
and you know what it feels like to want to take pain away from someone that you love?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's different with a kid. It's like so different. It's a different level that I didn't realize was achievable in a great way. And it like really does change you chemically. Like, I mean, being a parent, just I'm a different person.
Really?
Priorities are obviously completely different.
Like, okay, that was going to be my next question. Mm-hmm. Has life changed you? Like, because that's the next thing I wonder. I'm like, how much of my life, like in real time, real like stakes.
Yeah.
Is it going to change?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Am I going to be okay with that also, by the way? And you have to be. It's not like there's like receipt, like a return, you know what I mean? Like, it's
I'm still learning how to navigate all this. And I had some really great conversations with other actors who are parents, mostly women, not so many dads, a few dads, but mostly mothers who are like reassuring me that doing the thing that we love doing and going away and doing that is setting such a great example to our kids to, to be able to, you have to do the things that make you happy.
Yes.
You take a backseat to your career in a way, in a way that acting is really good because you have to be really critical about the stuff that comes to you. I mean, before I had kids, like I was in a position and you were as well, like we can kind of like do whatever we wanted to do. I mean, obviously there's scheduling things and like we might have to like say no to certain things, but like if the opportunity was there, let's go. But now it's like, you have to really look at like, do I want to bring my family with me to this place? Mm-hmm. And is it going to take me away from my kids? I, you know, when I was doing Take Me Out, Sullivan was born and I decided to do it, but I was away from him for basically the first 3 months and it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy I did it, but coming back and like, trying to get onto this like moving train
that was at home.
Yeah. Like that, you know, Justin had a system that was in place and I was like, where do I fit into this?
Right, right.
It was really complicated and it took me a long time and it was very emotional for me to have to like miss so much of that first part. And I am glad I did it. It was a very meaningful experience. But that sacrifice and that just those few weeks of where I felt like I was like all elbows and knees and just like doing the wrong thing at all times. I didn't know what to do. Like that was taxing on me too.
1,000%. That's something that worries me. Like, I've just, like, been thinking, I'm like, okay, I had such an amazing mom. I don't want to be less of a parent than, like, what I was given as parents.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to remind myself, I was like, hold the phone a second, Uzo. Like, you remember mom being, like, right there and, like, always there for you. But the truth of the matter is my mom had, like, 90 jobs. Like, she worked a lot. And she wasn't at every game. She wasn't at every rehearsal. But like what I really remember and like hold on to is like she was there for the stuff that counted.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And like
she could put aside what she was doing and focus.
Yes. And like showed up like I mean, we had no business calling her work as often as we were as children. Like but we were like calling constantly and she would like answer the phone and like very quickly deduce like, this is not important. You're calling me about Nintendo. But
right.
like if I'm calling for something real,
right.
she's like, I'm here. What is it? Like
yeah.
stopped everything. And that kind of has given me a little bit of like relief of like, there are going to be probably moments where like you said, like it's like, you're going to kind of have to get off at this stop on the train and it's going to feel like a wild ride, like hanging on by the back, getting back on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, as long as your intention is super clear, God willing, they're going to understand like you are their top priority. The second thing I'll say to that about the parenting, like it took me a minute to sort of buckle up and like get into this. And it was actually when I was doing Mrs. America a couple years ago, almost every woman on that show was a parent. I remember I kept asking all of them from like Margo to Tracy, Kate, like Liz, I was like, how do you do it? And like, they were like, you just do it, Uzo. And here were these like women who I so admired who had these gigantic careers and they were managing it and just were like, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just figure it out. And this gave me some peace. And that like started to like peek open like my heart a little bit more to something that I really wanted but was just like scared
of.
Like,
I think that there's such comfort in knowing that you're going to make your own rules and they're going to be the right rules for you
mm-hmm.
and that there is no right way to do it. I mean, I remember Justin and I having like grand proclamations, like, ba-ba-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, hear ye, hear ye. Yeah. We will not be using iPads or tablets, and yeah, we are, this baby is going to fit into our lives, and we're going to have our careers, and, you know, that's just going to be the way it is.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, that's cute. You all right. It's going to be what it is.
Yes, yeah.
And it is. Yes. That's exactly right. It becomes this thing that you figure out.
Yes.
You mentioned your mom. I know she passed away 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank
I know
you.
That you guys were very, very close.
Thank you.
And you're close with your father still, yes.
Well, my father also passed away.
Oh, I did not know that.
I'm so sorry. No, that's okay. He passed 8 months after my mom passed away.
So
it's
sorry.
Like such a whirlwind season of my life. But, you know, for people out there, you know, like, who have the experience of being like a parentless child, and you know you're now going to be a parent yourself, and you're having the experience.
You're kind of the next generation.
The next generation, and you have these moments when you're feeling this life grower, learning that life is coming to you. Like, wow, I wish my mom was here so I could ask her about this.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, things, moments when I don't know.
Yeah.
I worry sometimes in a greater scope, like, well, what else don't I know? And she's not here, you know, to help me. And what if I mess this up? Because, you know, like, there's no one to call. And when I get weepy and like scared about that, I then like have to remind myself, I'm like, she has equipped you because you love her so much. Maybe she left you like a map somewhere on your heart, you know, to like kind of get through it. You know what I mean?
So. Oh, that's beautiful.
Let's take a quick break, but don't go away. When we come back, we hear some of my favorite moments talking about raising kids with Busy Phillips. Meaning that I talk with Busy Phillips about raising kids, not that I'm actually raising kids with Busy Phillips. You get the point. Okay, be right back. Don't you just love it when someone looks at you and says, something's different about you. What were you up to last night? Well, no matter how late you were up the night before, Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops can help your eyes look more refreshed and awake than ever. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute to help your eyes look brighter and wider for up to 8 hours. No wonder it has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. You won't believe your eyes, and you know you can trust them because they're made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, and they're backed by 6 clinical studies. Eye doctors trust them too. They're the number one recommended redness reliever eye drop. The one and only Lumify is an amazing drop that will have people saying, something's different about you, but in the best possible way. So check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. This episode of Dinner's on Me is brought to you by BetterHelp. Okay, so listen, I was in my kitchen the other day, and I'm very particular about how I like things in the kitchen. I need things to be in a specific place. I like things to stay clean. So imagine my frustration when I saw that my husband, Justin, had left an empty can of cold brew and a wrapper from a protein bar on the counter right next to the recycling bin. Why couldn't he just open the drawer with the recycling bin in it and put it in there? This is something I need to get off my chest. Therapy is a very safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I mean, I've learned a lot from therapy, and I have learned that, you know, I need to pick my battles. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dinners today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dinners. You ever own something that inspired you to up your game? I remember the very first cookbook I ever bought. It was when I was living in New York City. I had a roommate at the time, and we had a very tiny kitchen, but I decided I wanted to be a better home cook. So I bought this cookbook from like a secondhand store or something. And that cookbook led to a little bit of a hobby for me. I enjoyed cooking from home and making meals for myself and my roommate. When I began a family, I began cooking for them, and now I have 2 kids, and I love cooking for them, and I throw dinner parties, and I'm actually now an author of my own cookbook. It's pretty crazy. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of its available features include a dynamic sky panorama glass roof and front row massaging seats. Oh, that's very luxurious. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
Next, we have actress Busy Phillips. You might know her from Girls 5 Eva or her own podcast, Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best. She's been in Hollywood forever. Well, as long as I have been, which is kind of a long time. She's come up on shows like Dawson's Creek and Freaks and Geeks. If you know Busy, or if you even just follow her on Instagram, you know how important being a mom is to her. Her kids are featured prominently on her feed. She has two children with her ex, Mark Silverstein, Birdie, who is 15, and Cricket, who is 10. In her conversation with me, we talk about co-parenting with Mark, who she separated from in 2021, and how she navigates gender identity and social media with her kids. Okay, let's get to the conversation.
Wait, Jesse, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Birdie recently has become obsessed with Modern Family.
Oh, really?
This is the, like, as we fight
Birdie's
for residual.
Birdie's 14 now? 13?
Yeah, almost 15.
Almost 15, okay.
I'm, like, actually shocked that Birdie went to Modern Fam, I have to be honest.
Okay, yeah.
Because Birdie's general vibe in television watching is, like Heartstopper.
Sure.
Young Royals.
She's got great taste.
Birdie's right now at a screening in Brooklyn of one of her favorite movies, My Own Private Idaho.
Shut up. She's at a screening.
This is what I'm saying. Do you know what
this.
I mean?
Yeah.
So not that, like, I just never expected Birdie to be like, oh my God, I started watching Modern Family. I'm obsessed. You have to watch it with me. I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, Birdie is an incredible person and an activist and, like, stands up, you know, is really loud and outspoken, and I don't know where she gets it from. Oh, Birdie came home from school the other day and was like, I found out why everyone hates me. And I was like, what? Nobody, not everybody hates you. And by the way, Birdie's being hyperbolic. Not everybody hates her. But there's, like, a faction of kids and that she gets into it with over political views and stuff. Mm. Eighth grade is wild. And she's like, it's because they said it's because I'm loud and I'm too opinionated and I, you know, really stand up for what I believe in. And I was...
So, like, all the things that a leader is.
All the things that you should be. But yeah. In eighth grade, it's not seen.
Right.
As...
Well, you know, I think, you know, at least for me when I was that age, like, I just wanted to blend in. What I'm so impressed with is that she doesn't want to blend in. She wants to be loud. She wants to be seen. She wants to be heard.
Yeah.
She wants to be visible. I, you know, you talked about, you know, the discussion that you had with her about... Birdie's a non-binary.
Well, Birdie's reevaluating their position.
Okay.
I think Birdie's good with, like, she, her, and they, them. Is definitely queer.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't quite know if, like, at this point she is identifying as non-bines. But that's what we call it in our house, non-bines. But is, like, the child is... Like, Birdie's definitely queer.
Yes.
I don't know. Whatever. It's, like, Birdie can be whatever.
Well, yeah, and like you said, I mean, like,
we're
always learning. We're always figuring out. We're always malleable. It's like, there's no need to, like, set anything in stone at this point. But, you know, I do.
But, like, here, can I just say
this?
Yeah,
please.
Because people sometimes on my Instagram get, like, a little, like, prickly about if I use a she, her pronoun, and then they're like, oh, now Birdie's they, them, like, whatever. Or now Birdie's she, her, and they were. It's like, guys, listen to me. It's not that fucking hard. all you have to do is listen to what your children tell you.
Yes.
And like support them wherever that is.
Right.
Unless it's that they're a neo-Nazi or that they've been radicalized
then you steer them
by
away.
Andrew Tate.
Yeah,
and then you need to have deeper conversations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like truly, I think it boggles my mind because it's such a no-brainer to me that you just listen and support your kids and meet them where they're at. And if you don't understand it, that's fine. But it's on you to do the research and figure it out and move forward from there and in the best way you can. So,
absolutely.
Like, you don't put it on your kid. You are the parent. You're the adult. And you figure it out. And that's what we did.
And you've had these conversations with Birdie because you're obviously a very vocal person. You have a following. And I know you've had discussions with her about like, how much do you want me to share?
Yes.
And what does visibility mean to you? And like, is this okay? Is that okay? And she's guided you through all these decisions.
Totally. Well, because first of all, with the pronouns specifically, mm-hmm. I was having a really difficult time because mm-hmm. I was doing my podcast mm-hmm. and I talk about, the kids know that I talk about them on the podcast, but I wasn't talking about Birdie having come out to us as non-binary. And
because you were protecting that
because I was protecting that information mm-hmm. for Birdie's mm-hmm. sake. But then I was just having it was hard for me because I kept saying she felt wrong and disrespectful, you know, because that wasn't what Birdie wanted in that, at that time. And so then we had a conversation about it. I talked to Mark first and then Birdie and I talked about it. And Birdie was like, oh my God, please talk about it. I was like, oh, really? And Birdie's like, yeah. I mean, it saves me from having to have the conversation.
That's amazing. What is our relationship with social media? Beyond like what you put out there.
Interesting. Like Birdie does not, I mean, Instagram, forget it. Like they don't care about
it.
Yeah, it's old people. Old people.
Oh God.
It's old people. TikTok is more, I would say Birdie doesn't have a public TikTok account, mm-hmm. but we had a situation in fifth grade where Birdie had made and posted a TikTok that was like, because she was upset with these girls. Birdie wasn't wrong. Like, it was a bad situation. But it's also not okay to put something out there on social media that's the intent to hurt someone else's feelings, right? And so we obviously had to get involved and, like, have a real conversation about how you think about what you share publicly. And, you know, it's complicated. Like, we all make mistakes, too.
Sure.
Even,
yeah.
obviously, grown-ups make mistakes all the time in terms of social media and what they share. And I think that it was really hard for Birdie. Mm. And she was really embarrassed, I think, because I think she also knows, she's like a lot like Mark, too, and really knows how smart she is. And, you know, and I think she just felt dumb, like she messed up, you know, like something that was...
She was disappointed in herself.
She was disappointed in herself. But I will say, I was grateful that it happened and that we were aware of it and we could help course correct it because I think it's an important lesson to learn mm-hmm. for these kids who are going to live so much of their lives online.
Yeah, yeah.
That you don't have to share every time you're heartbroken if you don't want to. You don't have to, like, share every great thing that happens to you. You can keep some things for yourself, which I do. And I also just think the other way that Mark and I try to parent is by example. And so I think that I try to lead by example with my kids.
You know, it's so
in
interesting that you say that you go into that direction because I remember Justin coming home. He had run into you somewhere and he goes, oh my God, Busy and Mark are separating. I was like, I didn't hear about this. And like, I Googled it, wasn't out there. Like, you kept that private for a very long time.
I feel like it was almost 2 years.
Yeah, it was a while.
It was a really long time.
And you said it's been a while, and it was completely something that you did not share.
No.
And it was just for...
We were both dating other people. Like, fully. I think that we, in this culture, in this period of time, have gotten very, like, sort of hemmed in on ideas of like what things look like and what ideal situations look like, whether it's like romantic or jobs or money or like living arrangements or children or, you know, there are a million ways to live your life and be happy and satisfied. And you don't need to restrict yourself to one, you know, honestly, like deeply patriarchal and sort of antiquated idea of what a relationship and like co-parenting situation can look like.
Right.
I mean, Mark and I share a home still.
Yeah. Yeah. And co-parenting is a whole other, like, you know, thing you have to navigate.
Yeah.
And I mean, I adore Mark. I know you adore Mark.
I do. I mean, it's like he's literally like one of my best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're good.
Yeah.
It gets complicated at times, but like it's really okay. And almost, I don't know, I think I was very much informed by my Gen X upbringing, traditional ideas that were instilled in me before I even knew how to decide.
Sure, absolutely. That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Justin and I were just talking about like how, you know, we're in a great place, but you know, just how grateful we are that we're not in the dating pool right now.
Oh yeah. It's weird.
And it's different also for gay men. It's like, you know, it's a whole other thing.
I mean, very different. But also like, I was like in a relationship after my divorce and that was somebody that I knew like through work, you know, we'd like ended up reconnecting and, you know, like.
Yeah.
I have
someone that you had history with.
Someone I had history with.
Yeah.
And same with like the people Mark has dated. Mark's not on a dating site, although I really am like, you would fucking kill on Raya, dude. But he's, the people he's dated have all been like people that he's kind of known before, or, you know, whatever. So, or friends of a friend kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I think I'm also realizing too, because I was really heartbroken after my divorce and then after dating the guy I was dating after my divorce, like really, really heartbroken. And I just feel like, I don't think I'm like in a place.
Ready.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready. And my kids need a lot from me right now.
Well, that's a whole other thing when you have children, especially that age, and you're bringing someone new in. It's like, you know, when to do that and how it's going to maybe impact them. And
like, I never did it with the guy I was dating. Birdie totally knew about him, but like they never met. Like it was just not, it never, that never happened. Hi.
Hi.
What is that? Is that a
delicious churro donut?
I was going to say, is that a churro donut?
Donuts?
I'm very excited.
Oh my God, this is gorgeous. What's swimming underneath? Is that chocolate sauce?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Okay, this is very exciting.
Next up, we have my friend Padma Lakshmi. You know her from hosting Top Chef for 19 seasons for her Hulu series, Taste the Nation with Padma Lakshmi. Padma had her daughter Krishna in 2010, who she lovingly calls Little Hands on Instagram. I love that. Padma recently asked me to send a video to celebrate Krishna's 13th birthday, and I couldn't believe she was 13 years old. It just feels like yesterday that she was running around Padma's apartment with little bells on her ankles so that Padma could hear where she was when she was, you know, in the other room. In our interview, Padma shares how she tackles difficult topics with Krishna, and we hear her daughter's reaction to that internet-breaking Sports Illustrated cover. Okay, let's get to the conversation. But it's such a difficult time in this country to be a woman, you know, with reproductive rights being taken away. All Justin and I can do, because we talked about this, right? Like, well, we're not the dads of a girl. All we can do is hope that we raise these two boys to be incredible feminists, and you know, to have the backs of their female friends, and to just be good people. What is it like? I mean, is Krishna's 13? I mean, is it complicated having these conversations?
It's super complicated, and this is the only child I've got. So this is, you know, she's a 13-year-old kid, but I'm also a 13-year-old parent in a way.
Right.
So I haven't had to deal with any of this before. And, you know, when Krishna, because of what happened to me both at 7 when I was sent back to India, as well as what happened to me when I was 16 when I was raped, I sent Krishna off to preschool telling her that nobody should touch her. Mm-hmm. And if she feels uncomfortable, you know, in language that a four-year-old
right.
can absorb.
That's appropriate for a four-year-old.
Like, yeah. Very simple. I said, if anybody touches you, even if they're a teacher, you know, a friend of mommy's, a friend of daddy's, a cop, anybody like that, and you feel uncomfortable, unless they're getting you out of the way of a moving car or something, you know, if you feel it's not okay, then it's not okay.
Right.
You just yell no. Just yell the word no really loudly, and then you go, and then you tell somebody you trust. And I said, mommy will never get mad at you. Mommy will always believe you. You are the owner of your right. body. And nobody is allowed to touch it unless you say okay,
yeah.
you know, other than mommy, daddy, you know, people you trust. But even if it's somebody who's close to us and you don't feel like it's okay, you have a right to say, no, please don't touch me.
Right, right.
And, you know, in other generations, you and I grew up, we're like, oh, give your, you know, Aunt Selma a hug or whatever it is. And it's like, no, you don't have to.
And also, like, always at your girlfriend to, like, you know, little boys. Like, it's you know, it's a whole, I think about all these things in a different way now being a parent.
It's scary. Yeah. It's really scary. I mean, I, at every stage, try to get ahead of it with Krishna. I remember, you know, we always go usually to Paris for spring break.
Yeah.
Now we're, like, going other places. But I remember one time she said to me, you know, what does intersex mean? And I was like, what? And she goes, well, what do people actually do when they have sex? Like, what is inter? You know, and she was meaning intercourse.
Right.
And so I had to, like, figure out what the question she was asking me was first. Mm-hmm. Because the thing that they tell you, and then, of course, that night I was like, okay, when, you know, when we have more time in the next couple of days, we'll talk about it. And then that night after she went to sleep, I went online and, you know, went to, like, Psychology Today and, you know, Parenting Magazine and everything, and I think asked my therapist and stuff. And what they all say is just answer the question they're asking. You know, the first time they ask you a question, you don't have to talk about the whole pantheon of everything you know about sex and sexuality.
Right.
It's too much.
Right.
And they just don't want to know, you know? And,
she said, my instinct would be to do exactly that. Like, let's
mine
just,
too.
While we're here, while we're discussing this, let's just get it all out there. Oh, that's so interesting. That's great advice, actually.
Yeah. I mean, for a long time, you know, when we were in Paris and we talked about it, you know, we didn't have our flight till 4 p.m. We had breakfast. It was snowing. So we just decided, I said, you know, we have 5 hours right now. So you can ask mommy anything you want. And you should have seen her face when I was like, okay, well, this is what intercourse is. You know, it's when the man's penis goes in. And you should have seen her face. I mean, it was horrified. She was like, her first question was, how? And then her second question was like, why? Yes, exactly, you know. And she just could not fathom. Like, she didn't even understand that there was a third aperture there, you know.
Right, right.
And it was really funny.
Wait, how old was she when you had this trip to Paris?
I think she was probably 8 or 9. And I just wanted to get ahead of it. You know, she asked me, so.
Yeah.
And she, at that time, she was riding the school bus.
It was like the longest 5 hours of your life.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I wanted her to be armed with the information. And I told her, I said, listen, if you hear about anything, ask me about it.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't want her to hear half the information or something that was wrong that scared her or, you know.
And also just like, you know, taking the shame out of it. Because I know for you, when you were sent away at age 6 or 7. Was
7.
It
7? Yeah, you know, for third grade,
like, you know, there was that sense, you talk about this in your book, about like, I've done something wrong. This is something I'm ashamed of. And then you talk about it again in your piece that you wrote in response to Kavanaugh, like, I'm coming forward now to talk about this because I have been ashamed about it. Because it was instilled in me at such an early age that these are not things you talk about. And that it is, you know, something that I've done wrong and I'm being punished for it. So I you know, I think that frankness with Krishna about like, there's nothing to be ashamed of is just so important. And I think it's the same for boys and girls, you know, absolutely. You're absolutely right that, you know, all kids of all backgrounds need to hear these,
you know, she, that time she rode the New York public school bus. So the Department of Education in New York, no matter what school you go to, you can ride that bus, but only until sixth grade.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I knew that she always sat in the back with older kids who were also in musical theater, and she liked to sing with them and stuff. But I knew that those girls were talking about stuff that she had no clue about.
Oh, sure.
And so I just told her, like, I'm telling you because I don't want you to have the wrong information.
Yeah.
And she really appreciated it. I said, but don't tell anyone in your grade. You know, I said, because their parents may not think that their kids are ready for it, and then you go and say something, and then you're not prepared to explain the whole thing, and they freak out. And I'm
That's
just telling
so
you.
Tricky.
Yeah.
What I mean, I'm just thank God Beckett's like not at that point yet. It's so tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I wind up talking a lot. Like, I just wind up being a motor mouth out of nervousness with her, and she's
That's
like, "Okay, so okay, I get it. That's enough." Like, you know, she'll stop me sometimes.
That's
she's like,
really
"That's
funny.
Enough."
Can I just ask what Krishna thought of the Sports Illustrated?
She was having her friends over for dinner yesterday because See Above, they love Indian food.
Yeah.
Before she wouldn't even eat dal. Now she's dishing it out to her friends.
Sweet.
But she asked me, she said, Mom, can I show the Sports Illustrated to my friends, please? And I just said, no, it doesn't matter, you know, because it's just on my phone right now.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I said, they don't need to see that. And she was,
you don't
Mom,
think they're going
to
Google it?
I mean, they're probably going to Google it, but I don't need to be at my dinner table with my teenage daughter,
yes,
with everything that's going on in their universe and two other little girls and be like, here's my Sports Illustrated
shoot. Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That just feels icky to me. I know she's proud of me and I'm proud I could do it and look nice as I did, but I have to be really mindful of that, especially with her. You know, she's used to seeing her mom do fittings, try to squeeze my ass into those Emmy gowns every year, and she doesn't need that in her life.
Yeah.
She really doesn't.
Yeah.
I tried to make a big deal of the Time 100 thing, and all she wanted to know is, like, what was Michael B. Jordan like? She found out he was on it. She did not care that I was on it. Yeah. I mean, I'm over the moon.
I wish my
grandfather was alive because this is something he'd actually be impressed by. You know, all my cousins and aunties and stuff are super impressed by Sports Illustrated. And the people who are the most excited, along with me, of course, about Sports Illustrated are my gay male friends and my older women friends or my age women friends. I'm like, yes, God damn it.
Yeah.
You know?
That tracks.
And so that is wonderful, but I really wish my grandpa had been alive.
Yeah.
He would have lost his shit that I was
on
the Time 100. It, you know, for me, it's happening now. It's happening so much later. Like, I feel like
it's
I'm such a
the
late
right time.
Bloomer.
But it's happening at the exact right time because you are in the right place in your life to handle all of that. And specifically with Taste of the Nation, you have so much world knowledge. You are a mother. You've reached this point of your career. You're in your life. You are in the right place to be talking and telling these stories. I adore you.
I love you too.
Thanks for coming to Midtown.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I think I need a passport to get back down below 14th Street.
Dinner's on Me is a production of Neon Hum Media, Sony Music Entertainment, and A Kid Named Beckett Productions. It's hosted by yours truly. It's executive produced by me and Jonathan Hirsch. Our showrunner is Joanna Clay. Chloe Chobel is our associate producer. Sam Baer engineered this episode. Hansdale Shi composed our theme music. Our head of production is Sammy Allison. Special thanks to Alexis Martinez and Justin Makita. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Join me next week.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.